With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Beam me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Gonna be a good day. It's always a good day here aboard the mothership. We appreciate you with us. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. It's a Target Demo Friday, so let us know where you are, how you're listening, and what you're doing. And I'll read through those coming up here in hour number four. This hour, we've got news and we're stunned to it in 20 minutes. And my tasty top five college football games of the weekend coming up in 40 minutes. You can always hit me up on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Last hour, we teased this. So I want to start with it. Gordon Hayward opting out in Boston. Gordon Hayward was an all-star, perennial all-star player in Utah. Then signed that big deal, free agent deal with the Celtics. And Boston felt as though he was one of those final pieces to get them to an NBA Finals. And of course, they've drafted and developed two very good young stars in Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And so with those guys and a solid set of depth around them, it felt like the Celtics were going to build a young, budding Eastern Conference dynasty. That if in the West it was all about LeBron of the Lakers or Steph and the Warriors or Harden and the Rockets, whatever the power team was going to be in the West, now maybe it was going to be Kawhi and Paul George for the Clippers as well, that in the East, if you would have made kind of the bet 3 years ago or so, it was the Celtics were going to be the next team, kind of like LeBron's Cavs in the Eastern Conference. It didn't happen. It hasn't happened. And there's still time because Brown and Tatum are only in their early 20s. But part of the reason it didn't happen was that Gordon Hayward's injury happened, that grotesque leg injury that happened right at the outset of his Celtics career. Over the last 3 years, Gordon Hayward has missed 111 games over three seasons. 111 games. He had $34 million coming to him if he opted in a player option for this upcoming season. So you might think, well, he's 30 years old. He's not going to be a perennial all-star anymore. He's missed all of this time. He's injury prone. $34 million. Don't you opt in this year, take the money, and then you end up hitting free agency next year and see what you can scrounge up? Of course, I say scrounge up like it's going to be pennies. No, it's going to be a deal that any of us could retire on. But in an NBA land, it's not going to be much. And he opted out. He opted out. So he left $34 million out there. Well, there is no way he's going to make $34 million this season. Absolutely no way. But he must be reading the tea leaves that there's a nice contract out there for him. That it wouldn't be $34 million a year, but it would be enough to get some long-term security over the next couple of seasons to where it makes sense to opt out now instead of testing the waters a year from now, which is pretty heady stuff, considering, again, to me it would have been opt back in this year for $34 million and then hit the ground as free agency next year and see what you can get. Instead, he's feeling right now, his agent told him, right now you've got this type of money staring at you. Well, I don't think it's going to be a Boston. I don't think it's the Celtics that are going to break the bank for him. And we just had the New York Knicks clear $40 million of cap space as the Knicks and their new front office have said, we're just going to clear all of those guys that had been signed last year right out. Gordon Hayward connected to the Knicks, the Hawks, and the Pacers. Indiana would need a sign and trade, but right now the Knicks and the Hawks have the cap space. Let me tell you, if Gordon Hayward signs with the New York Knicks, he is in for a world of pain. It's just not going to be better. It's not. Obi Toppin, I think they landed a likable guy, a New York area kid, a highlight guy, but a lot of fans also felt as though Tyrese Halliburton was a better pick there. Yes, they're trying to, I think, move on from these 20 years of pain and hell with a different approach instead of signing all of these free agents to bloated contracts and aging stars at the back end of their careers by building something with a younger nucleus. But if they go down the road of signing Gordon Hayward, it feels like more of the same. If you're going to spend enough money on Gordon Hayward to make it worth his while to leave $34 million on the table, doesn't that feel like just more Knicks? Just more old school Knicks nonsense? I mean, Hayward's not the player anymore that can carry this team. And can he be a feasible part of a young core where he's kind of the steward, the veteran steward of the team? I don't see it. If I am Gordon Hayward, there's no way I'm signing any contract whose name has at the bottom of it James Dolan. No chance. There's no chance. I've played in Utah when we went to the playoffs. I played in Boston where we had championship aspirations. Then I'm going to sink the last couple of years here to go play for the most toxic organization in the NBA. I'm sorry. If I'm Hayward, no way. But he must sniff something. If it's Atlanta, at least you could say, okay, the Hawks with Trae Young have a young core that they feel they could turn the corner here. But you can't say that about the Knicks right now. I have to say, if he opted out of the Celtics, 34 mil, to go chase the millions put on the table by the Knicks, and that's why the Knicks just cleared all this cap space, you deserve what you got. You deserve what you get coming to you. Because, I mean, you can see, Mraz, can't you see the writing on the wall here that this is going to be a bad situation for Gordon Hayward if he lands in New York, and then the pressure and expectations that happen with signing a big contract with the Knicks and then obviously not living up to them?
This is the worst possible fit for Gordon Hayward for all of those reasons. Right off the bat, he has to stay healthy. And that's something he hasn't done for the last 3 years. And the Knicks are so desperate. Their fan base is so desperate, especially watching the team across the river, the Brooklyn Nets, sign big free agents, that they are going to have higher expectations for Gordon Hayward than Hayward might even have for himself as far as what kind of player he is. And if he gets hurt, New York has been through this with all of their sports, with big-ticket free agents where you spend a lot of money and the guys are never healthy. The name Carl Pavano comes to mind with the Yankees. He is going to be roasted and treated like he's a higher echelon star than he is because of the money he'd be making and because of what the Knicks invested. And he's going to get run out of town. This is the worst market for the kind of injury-prone player Hayward is, combined with the expectations they'll have for the money they're going to give him. This is a major, major mistake.
And the type of player that is not a guy that can shoulder the load of an entire offense,
right,
or be the centerpiece of a winning team. That's not who Gordon Hayward is. Gordon Hayward's a nice complimentary player. Hayward can be very good at times, but he also can fade into the background. And he's not the type of guy that says, I'm going to change the culture, follow me, I'm the alpha male. That's not who he is. And he's going to get paid like that if it's the Knicks, because why else would he leave $34 million guaranteed this season on the table for a franchise that also has a GM who's a former agent, changing coaches again. Now it's going to be Tom Thibodeau, whose hard-driving, aggressive style is not going to mesh very well, I'm sure, with rookies and young players that make a ton of mistakes. I mean, forget it. If Hayward takes this money, he is signing his own death certificate because it's blood money. It's blood money.
And you're the only other... I would say the only out he has here, or I guess the Knicks would have, if this all makes sense, is if they know they can land Russell Westbrook, and then maybe they think they're building something with Westbrook and Hayward. But even then, that is some prayer.
So Gordon Hayward has a very special place in all of our hearts here on the DA Show because he did a gender reveal, and we here on the DA Show universally hate gender reveals. But he had this great one on social media where they found out the gender of the baby, and Gordon Hayward is kind of like openly sulking through it. And he's asked, is daddy happy? And he says, daddy's always happy. And you're just like, oh, no, you're not. And he is clearly hating the gender reveal party as well. Let's play that clip just because we love it so much on a Friday.
Okay, ready? Say, daddy, can you help me?
Help me.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Whoa, it's a girl.
Whoa. You want a girl?
Brittany, you were right.
Is daddy happy?
Daddy's always happy.
This is like when the Bourbon Belle sees me with some type of scowl on my face, grimacing in pain, just miserable. And she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. Yeah.
Daddy's always happy.
Through gritted teeth. Daddy's always happy. All of that sounded painful. I mean, it sounded painful for Gordon Hayward. It sounded painful for the audience. It sounded painful for the kids and his wife. Is daddy happy? Daddy's always happy.
And lives forever for that daughter, too, by the way.
Whoa! It's a girl! Daddy's always happy.
That's how it's going to feel when the Knicks lose 60 games a season and the media try to run you out of town on the back pages every single day of your career, Gordon Hayward.
Whoa!
Gordon's always happy.
Daddy's always happy.
All right, so big one in the Big Ten tomorrow noon. The big noon kickoff on Fox is going to be Indiana versus Ohio State. And this one's huge because when was the last time Indiana was a top 10 team and the biggest threat in the conference to Ohio State? The Buckeyes are number 3. The Hoosiers are number 9. This one's at the Horseshoe in Columbus, noon Eastern on Fox tomorrow. Can the Hoosiers actually pull this one off? I don't think so. I'd like to think it's going to be a game. I hope it's going to be a game. Vegas, though, has installed Ohio State as a 20.5-point favorite. 20 and nearly a 3-touchdown spread against the number 9 team of the country, which goes to show you that everybody believes, as do I, there are 3 teams in college football right now than everybody else. Does not include Notre Dame. Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State. That's the 3. Everybody else, it's 4 and under. And so even if you're a top 10 team of the country like Indiana, even if you've had really remarkable, inspirational wins, even if this is the best season you have had since the 80s, you're still not at that tier. If this game was going to be played in Bloomington, maybe I'd feel a little bit differently. Maybe I'd feel like the Hoosiers could keep it close. At Ohio State is a rough one, but also remember, Ohio State had a bye last week. Their game was canceled / postponed because of COVID while Indiana played. So Ohio State coming off of a bye at home against the Hoosiers, it's hard to imagine this is not a 2-touchdown win by Ohio State. This comes down to the Hoosiers' defense because they can't roll with the Buckeyes' offense, okay? Michael Penix is a fantastic quarterback for this Indiana team. He's not Justin Fields. Fields and the Buckeyes average 500 yards of offense and 45 points per game. Indiana simply can't play at that level. They simply cannot play. If the Hoosiers have a chance at this game, it has to be played in the 30s or better yet, the 20s. But is that going to happen? That is all up to an Indiana defense that is very good, but is it elite like that? Again, game played in the 40s, Ohio State's going to win that game going away. Game played in the 30s, it's got to be low 30s. Game played in the 20s, Indiana can win that football game. But can Indiana's defense take on one of the most explosive offenses in the country that, again, is averaging 46 points per game and 511 yards and hold them and slow them down after they're coming off of a bye. It's hard to believe. It's very, very hard to believe. To this point in time, this season, Ohio State put up 52 on Nebraska, 38 against Penn State, 49 against Rutgers. To this point in time, Indiana has also had a very good run, but they played teams that aren't going anywhere. They beat a Penn State team that is a disaster. They beat Rutgers. They beat Michigan, who's 1-3, and Michigan State, and shut them out last week. Again, good win for Indiana, a shutout over an opposing team on the road of the Big Ten. That's a big boy win that the Hoosiers are trying to build as a program, but Michigan State also lost to Rutgers this year. That's not a very good Spartans team, first-year head coach Mel Tucker. So Indiana's challenge coming up on Saturday, tomorrow, in what, a little bit more than 27 hours away, is going to be to slow down one of the most elite high-powered offenses in the country and do it for 60 minutes on the road after that team comes off of a bye. That's not going to happen. But it's good to see Indiana in the top 10, and let's see if at least they can keep this thing close. It is time now for Meraz's Up the Gut NFL Picks.
Puffiness with football. Meraz gives you his NFL picks every week. It's Up the Gut, only on the DA Show.
Meraz, are you starting to feel the heat? Last week, Super Dave went 3-0 to close to within two games. You went 1-2, and this was the exact time last year where Super Dave put on the afterburners and pushed by you, forcing you into taking the SAT.
I'd be lying if I told you, DA, that I don't feel like Ryan Fitzpatrick when the weather gets a little colder and suddenly that hot start turns into fumbling your way out of the playoffs. I can't be reading a book, so under no circumstance can I read a book. We got to win games starting this weekend.
If Super Dave defeats Meraz, Meraz is forced to not only read a book, but do a book report on it, and it's the book of our choosing.
Oh.
We start with Packers and Colts. This one is in Indianapolis. The Packers are getting points here, plus a point and a half, and you're thinking Aaron Rodgers getting points, you'll take it.
Yeah, that's basically it. There's no need to really split the atom or overthink this. I've been burned by the Packers in two of the last 3 weeks. I like them laying a big number against Minnesota, obviously lost the game. I liked them last week. That was one of my losses, laying the big number against the Jags. Obviously could care less. Now I'm getting points with Aaron Rodgers, and I know the Colts off that extended break. Their defense is thumping, and this could be a big rise to the occasion moment. I know we're going to get into Colts-Packers a little bit later, but ultimately this is Phillip Rivers versus Aaron Rodgers. The Packers know that they haven't played their best football recently, and I'm getting points. I'm going to jump all over it with Green Bay here and think that they find a way to flex a little bit offensively in this fourth quarter, and maybe Phillip Rivers throws a pick or two to really have this game get away from the Colts.
Now, if you think that Meraz is just doing these picks on the air, he's not. He's also writing his picks down and doing a column every single week for CBSSportsRadio.com. And in his next breakdown for Patriots and Texans, he leads off by saying, Romeo and Juliet was a classic story. Romeo and Belichick is as well.
How about that?
May I ask, do you know the story of Romeo and Juliet?
Yes, yes. The Capuettos and I forgot the other team, the Mariettas. Either way, I've seen the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio. I read the book back in junior high or high school. Forbidden love, DA. The families hated each other. They weren't supposed to be together. They end up basically together. Oh, Romeo, art thou Romeo? That you know, so now I have Romeo Crennel, so I'm tying it in. I know a little Romeo and Juliet. Not a bad movie.
Okay, I figured that maybe you would get your Romeo and Juliet backstory from watching the movie instead of actually reading the play.
I read the book, but the movie tells a better story, you know?
Patriots on the road in Houston against the Texans. Again, a team that's getting points is the Texans in this case. The Patriots are laying 2.5. And you're thinking Patriots on the road against a former Belichick assistant.
Look, the Texans stink, guys. And I know the Patriots do, too. But last week, when the Texans put out there against Cleveland in bad weather, Deshaun Watson almost looks disinterested in the rest of the season. And now Romeo Crennel, who's, I guess, coaching to try to remain the head coach with the Texans, even though that net is now wide open, according to the McNair family. I just think that Bill Belichick is salivating at the idea that he knows Romeo Crennel's every move. If there's a head coach that Bill Belichick's going to be able to laugh at, it's going to be Romeo Crennel this weekend. And I do think the Pats at least come in with a little bit of confidence after beating the Ravens last week. I think they're going to go into Houston. I don't think there's going to be a pretty game. I don't think all of a sudden Cam Newton looks like an MVP again. But all you need to do is win this game by a field goal to cover. And I certainly think the Patriots are going to do enough strategically from their head coach alone to get this done and cover the number. I think the Texans have just totally checked out, where the Pats will at least continue to play hard for Belichick. Give me the Pats laying the 2.5.
And because the DA show is just a series of bets, it's just one long train of bets.
Yes.
We also have the Belichick / Patriots bet coming up, and that is whether the Patriots are a bottom three team of the NFL and picking the top three in the NFL draft. You're toast on that already.
Yeah.
By virtue of them winning last week, they now are at 4 wins. They won't be a bottom three team in the NFL. And if they win in Houston, forget it. I mean, they'd be 5-5.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, this is the one year I picked where the team picking 10th in theory could have been picking top three in any other year because of the way the bottom half of the league looks. So, yeah, I'm toast. So as long as I'm toast, I might as well hedge my bet and try to beat Super Dave using the Pats to win here with the Texans.
And finally, Chiefs and Raiders, Sunday Night Football in the desert in Las Vegas. The Chiefs are laying 6.5, and you don't think that the Raiders can do it again. Remember, Vegas handed the Chiefs their only loss of the season.
I don't. This is my super play of the week, if you will. The game I'll look at off parlay and probably hit it hard. The Chiefs laying less than a touchdown. That's the key. And it might be up some places, 7, 7.5, if you could buy it down to 6.5. I found it a little egregious when Andy Reid this week talked about the victory lap that the Raiders took around Arrowhead. Like, who cares that they had the buses go around the stadium? That seemed like a pretty stupid storyline. But nonetheless, it seems like the Chiefs are really ticked off that they lost to the Raiders. And now it's moving time. We're a week before Thanksgiving. The Chiefs have one loss, but it still hasn't felt like we've seen what the Chiefs are capable of. They can't lose this game to the Raiders because they can't allow the Raiders even a glimmer of hope to find a win this AFC West. I think the Chiefs are going to treat this like it's the biggest regular season game they have played all year, and I think they are going to flex early and often, and I think this game gets out of hand by as early as the third quarter. Give me the Chiefs laying the 6.5.
Mraz went 1-2 last week. Super Dave went 3-0, meaning that Super Dave is only 2 games behind Mraz. Mraz is now 17-13 against the spread this season. Finally, your football food of the week. Thank God. It's with bacon. Mraz, what are we doing here?
So this is a first for the DA show ever, folks. I'm giving you a football food of the week I won't ever eat. I'll refuse to eat.
Wow.
And isn't that something? And that is the respect I have for the Bourbon Bell, because I have asked for listener submissions for foods of the week. And the Bourbon Bell, I guess perhaps forgiving me over the whole calling you the wrong sign, the wrong Sagittarius sign earlier in the year that made her and you fight.
Zodiac.
Or the Zodiac sign. She's now forgiven me a little bit and is giving me a football food of the week. She's going with pickles with bacon.
Anytime you give it with bacon, I'm going to use it.
So we're going to go pickles with bacon here. It's salty, savory, crunch of the pickle. You get that thing going with that salty goodness of the bacon and that crunch wrapped around there. It's a pretty basic thing. I mean, look, those folks, you're getting pickles and you're wrapping them with bacon. You're going to cook them up a little bit in the oven. The recipe is provided at the link. Go to cbssportsradio.com. Search up the gut there. Right at the end of the column is a nice link to what the Bourbon Bell provided me, where she will get her pickles with bacon. Do I know that the Bourbon Bell's making it for DA this week? No. But do I know that she's provided them as a food of the week here? Yes. So out of respect for DA's wife, I'm giving you a football food of the week that I personally will not eat because I'm not a pickle eater.
Well, that'll make you popular in the DA show household. Yeah, I'd like to see the Bourbon Bell actually make this for me. That would be a win. What she has here is... you take mini dill pickles. I don't know how mini they have to be, though, but they're dill pickles, and then you slice them in quarters or halves. Then you put cream cheese on them, little shredded cheddar, and then a little garlic, and then you wrap bacon around them, and then bake them in the oven at 400 degrees for about 15 or 20 minutes. So then they come out as these little, they're like half,
jalapeno poppers.
Yeah, they're half pickles, but they got cheese and bacon wrapped around them.
With bacon.
They look delicious. Be a miracle if she makes them for me this weekend. So I would like to see that.
Oh, boy.
So
I'm not getting involved with that.
So here we go. All right. Bacon wrapped pickles is the football food of the week.
Well, if she if the
D-Aliens make them, send me back the review of them.
And if the Bourbon Bell makes them, we need Al Michaels on the call. Do you believe in miracles? Yes.
Yes. D.A. has signature food for his football viewing. Do you believe in miracles? Yes. D.A. is eating food that he didn't cook. Do you believe in miracles? Yes.
Get that couch ready tonight, D.A.
All right, when we come back here on the D.A. show, we have Stunned to a News, and later on in the hour, the Tasty Top 5. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
My mom is very chatty with her mom groups on Facebook and whatever else she does while she's home all day. Who knows what's going on over there?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Have fun with your Facebook groups. Sunday, the NFL on CBS slate features two of the AFC's best going head-to-head when Derrick Henry and the Titans take on Lamar Jackson's Ravens. So the Steelers look to avoid the upset against the Jaguars. It all begins with the NFL today. Noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. The NFL is on CBS. Remember, it's a Target Demo Friday, so let us know where you are, how you're listening, and what you're doing. Tweet at me, DA on CBS, or leave it on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow, and I'll read through those coming up here in the hour number 4 of a Target Demo Friday. Standing by with our headlines this morning, kind Sir Andrew Bogish. Mr. Bogues, good morning. Hello.
DA, hello again. These headlines are sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. When they played in late October in Arizona, the Cardinals scored 10 points in the final 2.5 minutes of regulation, then beat the Seahawks in overtime. There was no comeback last night in Seattle.
Three receivers right, two left. Here's the snap. Murray back to pass. Murray hit. Murray is sacked. Carlos Dunlap gets his second sack of the game, and the Seahawks take over with 34 seconds to go.
That's Ryan Radke on Westwood One. New Seahawk Carlos Dunlap putting away the Cardinals 28-21 to end that two-game slot.
By the way, last night is proof that the DA show lives with us forever, because every time Carlos Dunlap's name was thought of, I kept saying to myself, it's when the belly Dunlap's over the belt from that guy from Wisconsin from this state mothership history. All night I kept saying it to myself. It was driving me insane.
Got Dunlap disease when the belly Dunlap's over the belt.
Dunlap last night, that sack part of arguably the best effort of the season from the Seattle D. Kyler Murray ran for just 15 yards. He missed open receivers most of the night. Russell Wilson, meanwhile, zero turnovers after 10 over his previous four games.
There's always, you know, highs and lows. There's always tough challenges. But I think great players always know, one, how to be consistent, and two, how to consistently adjust and how to consistently overcome. And I think that for me, that's my mentality all the time. I tell you guys all the time, I want to be neutral. I want to be able to remain calm in the midst of the storm.
He is the worst. God. I mean, he's just the worst.
How do we balance that he is one of the best players in our life to watch, and yet he's one of the worst to listen to? Everything that Russell Wilson says is now a TED Talk. Everything has to be some inspirational quote.
And I don't want to go down like the piggy road, but like, why is Sierra putting up with this? This beautiful, talented woman. Do you think she wants to have these conversations when they're walking around their house in the Pacific
piggy
Northwest?
Road? What do you mean
so
the piggy?
So annoying. Well, I just like not this like chauvinistic like man woman relationship thing, but like how is she putting up with
this? Oh, this has nothing to do about being chauvinistic. This is just about how does anybody live with Russell Wilson? He's that annoying.
Oh, Romeo, art thou Romeo?
I mean, he's just so annoying. He is such a delight to watch play football, and he is so annoying when he talks. Everything is an inspirational quote. It's like he wants to be Anthony Robbins.
Right, and there's no way he turns this off. I mean, this is him 24/7, 365. It might get ramped up a little bit post game, but he's doing this at home with the kids, with her. This is just him.
See, I was going to say maybe he doesn't do that at home, that it's all for public consumption. When he gets home, you know, he sheds it a little bit until or he has to make a Mr. Unlimited video.
Or that this I don't want to say alter ego, but this public persona that Russell Wilson gives at post-game podiums is about being a championship athlete. And yet when he goes home, doesn't he do like Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Award stuff as well? And did the Mr. Unlimited dog diarrhea. So maybe he has normalcy in his life, except when he wants to project this kind of like idea of some type of Zen thinking, which I just have to say, okay, if you are truly Zen, if you truly have figured out some type of overwhelming understanding of the universe and the cosmos, if you have some type of spiritual connection with yourself and the universe and all of this, you don't talk about it. You don't have to talk about it. The people that talk about it incessantly don't do it. They don't have it. Like, you don't have monks constantly in front of microphones being like, let me tell you about my spiritual connection with the universe. No, they don't have to talk about it because that's the anti of doing it. And so every time I talk about being neutrality. I talk about this. This is consistency. This is what leaders do. It's like, shut up. Real leaders don't talk about being leaders. Real leaders do it. They don't talk about it. It's like, shut up. Just shut up. It's amazing. He is so fun to watch, and he's so hard to listen to.
Don't forget, too, he once called himself a prophet. He said God talked to him after the Super Bowl interception that was going to be okay, that like he needed this to like move forward in his career. Like, that's a really big sentence to say that God talked directly to you. Like, that's not a thing that God necessarily does, at least from my 12 or 16 years of Catholic school education. So, like, calling yourself a prophet is like, that's like breaking news stuff. Like, we should be worshiping Russell Wilson if God actually talked to him directly about a football game.
He's like, I just want to let you know I'm a prophet. God told me I'd be throwing this interception, but it's going to be totally fine. And you're like, Russ, that's a big meatball you just threw out there right now. If this is true, we need to do a little bit of a deeper dive on this.
Right. And can we get a little more important information out of God than your Super Bowl interception?
If you were a prophet, did God mention anything besides Malcolm Butler jumping the route?
Yeah. Anything about like famine or, you know, climate change? Any of those things come up, or just with X's and O's?
That was just, don't worry, Daryl Bevel's not going to call a run to Marshawn Lynch at the goal line. Don't stress about it.
Wilson last night did throw touchdowns to Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, while Carlos Hyde ran for 79 yards and a score in his return from injury. But tight end Greg Olsen might have suffered a season-ending torn plantar fascia in his left foot. They can't directly replace Klay Thompson, but the Warriors do need some help after losing Klay for the second season in a row, this time with a torn right Achilles. The Dubs reportedly close to getting Kelly Oubre Jr. from the Thunder. He just got there as part of the Chris Paul trade with the Suns. As we just discussed, the Knicks made a series of roster moves yesterday to clear $40 million cap space. Most of that might go to Gordon Hayward, but some of it is now earmarked for big man Ed Davis. The Jazz paying the Knicks two 2023 second-round picks to take Davis and his expiring contract. It saves Utah $5 million. As for Hayward, he's headed for free agency after declining his $34 million option in Boston. And Major League Baseball just got around to hearing Yankee closer Aroldis Chapman's appeal of his three-game suspension for throwing at the head of Tampa Bay's Michael Brasso. The ban cut to two games, and Chapman will serve it to start the coming season. And now, let's get stunned.
Woohoo!
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
So this is a submission from DA, not the Bourbon Bell, I think, but at least from the general Amendolar
hey,
household.
The Amendolar household producing today's show. I like it.
I'm aware of this TV show. I've never actually seen it. It's called Northwoods Law. It's on Animal Planet. One episode back in 2018 detailed a police investigation about a small marijuana patch. An officer interviewed Dale and Annie Mansfield on camera during the investigation. Their faces, though, were pixelated, but Dale and Anne say the show painted them in a bad light by connecting them to the weed, even though police arrested somebody else and the show made it clear that these two had no connections to growing marijuana. The Mansfields, so bothered by this, they said their neighbors could tell it was them, that they filed a lawsuit, and that lawsuit has now reached the New Hampshire Supreme Court,
and there's
First Amendment and freedom of the press things being thrown around here about Northwoods Law episode about weed in New Hampshire.
Which is amazing that you'd go through all of this about being questioned for a personal weed patch. I mean, with how every state now seems to be turning totally fine with selling weed and having dispensaries or whatever, could you imagine being that bothered? Like, would your neighbors really care if they thought that you were growing a small batch of weed in your backyard or in your basement?
Or would they not believe you when you say, no, it wasn't me? And by the way, they arrested Ricky for this. Like, they didn't do it. I don't understand. Like, what backlash are they feeling and doubt are they getting from their neighbors who don't see weed in their backyard? No, they didn't do it. Like, what's the negative here that they're suing to get some kind of compensation for?
Yeah, what is going on in New Durham, New Hampshire, to where this couple is now just ridden out on a rails and just hammered forever within their community? It doesn't feel like there could be that big of a backlash to being shown question about pot on Animal Planet.
Yeah, I'm more confused about what this episode had to do with animals on Animal Planet.
Well, I think it's like fish and game police. So it's usually about like hunting violations and stuff like that. But and maybe they stumbled upon some weed. So it is mostly about like animal law, so to speak.
I was going to say,
it's not always about this.
I usually go right over Animal Planet. Am I missing good weed cop shows? Because then I could be back in.
In a 2018 segment entitled Weed Whackers, camera crews.
Oh, that's a swing.
Are you writing their headlines?
That's a swing. They follow a fishing game conservation officer as he attempts to chase down whoever is responsible for growing a small patch marijuana. This is so good. Now, let me ask, have you guys ever appeared on a reality TV show?
No, not that I know.
No, my wife has, though.
Really? Kate the Great?
Yeah. She was Dave Attell. It was on Comedy Central.
Yes.
And I can't remember what it was called, but he was
up late or up all night or something.
And like he would just be, I think they filmed it while he was doing in cities for his stand-up act. And he was in a bar one night and he sat down with my wife and two of her friends. She was at BU, it was in college. And one of her friends, they were ashing their cigarettes in like an old cup of beer. And Dave Attell got this guy to drink the cup of old beer, ash, and cigarette butts on camera.
Yeah. She didn't do that. It was just her
cigarette. She did not.
Butt.
No, she's a lady.
Okay.
No, yeah,
I think it was called Insomniac.
And yes, that's the show.
Insomniac. Wow. Okay, so that's our brush with fame. Bogus's wife, which is pretty cool. I've never appeared in a reality show either, although I have to tell you, Merez, I have found a reality show opportunity for you.
Oh.
Whoa.
Okay, all right.
Now, I knew
you wanted Connor to be on the show. I didn't know this was going to be the way you pushed me out, but okay.
This is something that I think that maybe you would be perfect for. There is a TV show that's having a casting call right now. They're having a casting call for somebody who drives monster trucks. Do you have what it takes to master a monster truck? Is your personality perfect for a packed stadium? A TV production company is now casting big personalities for the opportunity to learn how to drive monster trucks. And I just felt, you know what? This feels like a Mraz. where Mraz, big personality in front of a crowd, are you not entertained, learning how to drive a monster truck? You don't have to have already known how to. They teach you how to. You become the driver of like a grave digger. Doesn't this feel up your alley?
Yes, because I can already tell you, we had that Stunner News earlier in the week. I could be the first naked monster truck driver. I'll just do it in the nude everywhere.
Had to ruin it.
Okay, well, do you want me to pass you the information? Because I think that maybe if you have to cut like a demo reel, then we can play it on the air and we can track your progress with the casting.
Look. Look, 8 years in, if you don't know me by now, I'm good to do anything for the show. And I think using the DA show to parallel my monster truck career, I think is absolutely perfect. And we can see if they pick me up and we'll see where we go from there.
Okay, so Mraz is going to try to count, kind of corner the market on being Ravishing Rick nude. He is just going to be the naked gravedigger driver.
How dare you besmirch the gravedigger by putting your naked body in there? That's hallowed ground.
The wheels aren't the only thing big on this driver.
Well, if you're the one that was worried about playing shrimp cocktail by going away to college, I don't think you could use that as your calling card either. Maybe your butt cheeks.
Oh, no. Oh, Romeo, art thou Romeo?
Oh. Well,
the Capuettos and the I forgot the other team, the Marietas.
The other team,
Mariotas.
Yeah, the Capuanos and the Mariotas.
This is Marcus's great 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 grandfather.
Mraz actually could be the Thictator as his monster truck.
Oh, I like that. Here comes the Thictator. Mm-hmm.
The naked Thictator. The only nude driver on the circuit. Wait till you see his seat after this.
Well, skid marks would be a good thing, too.
There it is!
That's a swing!
That's gotta be that.
Or Skid Mark? His name is Mark?
Can you change your name to Mark? Could you be Mark Mraz? Would you mind?
Skid Mark. Sunday at the Civic Center. It's Skid Mark. Come see your favorite monster truck drivers, the Gravedigger, Bigfoot, and Skid Mark, the only new driver on the circuit. When we come back, your tasty top five college football games of the weekend. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Every week, DA gives you his most appetizing college football games.
Mm-hmm. This is a tasty burger.
It's the tasty top five.
I'm tasty.
Number five.
Bedlam, number 14, Ohio State, at number 18, Oklahoma. It's a night kick tomorrow night, 7:30 p.m. on ABC. These two teams combined for 900 yards of offense on average per game. There should be some points put up.
Number four.
Trevor Lawrence is back. Number four, Clemson travels to Tallahassee to take on Florida State. Noon kick on ABC tomorrow Eastern time. Clemson a huge favorite, 35-point favorite, but at least we get to see Trevor Lawrence back in action.
Number three.
In the SEC, I always enjoy watching the coaches on the hot seat. Jeremy Pruitt versus Gus Malzahn. Tennessee is at Auburn. Auburn's a 10.5-point favorite. Auburn is ranked number 23. Night kick, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Jeremy Pruitt just 2-4 this season, taking some heat in Knoxville.
Number two.
Cincinnati is one of the coolest teams to watch this season. They're 7-0. They're undefeated. They're a 6-point favorite and ranked number 7 of the country at UCF. 3:30 kick on ESPN tomorrow afternoon. Watch the Bearcats. They're fun.
Number one.
It's the Indiana and Ohio State game. Two top 10 teams. Number 9, Hoosiers at number 3, Ohio State. Ohio State a 20.5-point favorite. Noon kick on Fox. Can Indiana's defense keep this game close?
I'm
tasty.
How tasty? When we come back, can the Ravens keep their season alive?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.